Blog Talk Radio.
Atlanta, Minneapolis, Nashville, and everywhere else.
Check it out. You don't want to miss anything. It could be important. You should check now. Do you want to seem rude? You should respond now. Come on, just pick me up. It'll just take a second.
Don't text and drive. Hands-free cell phone use is now the law. This message brought to you by the Georgia Department of Transportation.
All right, good evening. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to WAMRDB, Atlanta Mix Radio, the woman's station. And I'm Dee Fly tonight in the house. And ladies, we have a hot show for you tonight. We have the one and only, that's Byron Ely in the house, Mr. Blackfield, motivational speaker, fitness trainer, and model. Welcome. How are you this evening, sir?
Good evening, good evening. I'm doing great. Amazing. How you doing?
That's wonderful. Yes, and we're so glad to have you on the show this evening. Man, the lines have been blowing up about you coming on WAMRDB tonight, and we're honored to have you on the show. We'd like to welcome you.
Thank you so much, and I'm thankful to be here. Can you hear me? Okay, yeah, I'm very thankful to be here. I'm here in L.A., you know, it's beautiful weather, so it's kind of not fair to you all in Atlanta, I don't think, but, you know, going well.
Oh, he's going to rub it in. So, actually, I'm the northern station of WAMRDB, so I'm in Minnesota right now. So Minnesota today, the forecast is probably in the 50s. But what's the weather like there in L.A.? Tell us about that.
Just a little 75 degrees. That's it, you know, but I can't really be rubbing in too much because we got a couple of 50-degree days coming on. They say it don't rain in Southern California, but Tony was lying because before this last week, it rained like 2 weeks in a row.
It's been raining 2 weeks in a row. What part of California are you in again?
Southern Cal, L.A., Los Angeles.
Oh, Los Angeles. I loved it out there. I was out in Culver City for a minute. About 3 months, and then I recorded out in L.A., and I love it out there, so it's hard to hear. I can't believe that it's rained out there for almost 2 weeks. That's hard to believe there.
Right, yeah. It rained for like 2 weeks straight right before and during when we went on lockdown. So, yeah, but it's been sunny the last couple of days, but then we have some rain coming in again, so can't get used to it yet, but it's all right, though. It's all right. I can't complain.
Right. Speaking about the lockdown, since you mentioned it, how are you dealing with that and your family dealing with the coronavirus epidemic there?
Well, I have both sets of grandparents here in California, my paternal and paternal grandparents. However, I wasn't raised here, so most of my family is in Louisville, Kentucky, where I was raised, and also Florida, Jacksonville, Florida, which is where I came from before I moved here to Cali about a year and a half ago. So, you know, I'm quarantined. You know, I like to get out to still get my exercise on, but my grandmother, both of my grandparents, my grandmothers, they're young, actually. They're between 60 and 70, but definitely they haven't left the house, you know, because they're more at risk. You know, pretty much me, I've been doing the same thing that I've been doing really before all this stuff happened, which is, you know, stay clean. I mean, cleanliness is next to godliness, I like to think. So I naturally don't like touching doorknobs and trying not to touch my face. So I keep a clear face, naturally paying more attention to washing hands. I try to wash my hands 20 seconds anyway before all of this came out. So pretty much doing the same thing. You know, I like to say I would be cautious and careful, but I'm not being scared. You know, I'm not going to be scared to live my life, but I've been cautious and careful, definitely.
And that's great. You know, I think that's what a lot of people, you know, they're so, you know, some people are not taking this serious and some people are petrified about this. So, you know, just being cautious, just the main thing that we just really have to do is just be mindful of each other's surroundings and your surroundings, as well as, you know, taking the proper precautions for that.
Definitely. And I feel like ignorance is bliss. So as long as we, like you said, definitely, not going to, you know, be silly about it. And it's not trivial at all. It's definitely serious and real. But like I said, being cautious and careful. But, you know, because I feel like something, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. Because with it being airborne and things like that, if you have to go to the grocery store, you never know who was there before you and maybe coughed and didn't cover their mouth. And so I think that it can live in the environment for about three or six hours or something like that. So, you know, I mean, if you're going to get it, you're going to get it. But, yeah, definitely don't be careless. That's what I would suggest, you know.
Right. You know, I just have a few questions here, and I want to welcome you once again on the station. I heard you mention that you're from Jacksonville, Florida. Now, what made you come out to Cali?
Well, so I was raised in Louisville, Kentucky, the Kentucky Derby City, you know, home of Muhammad Ali. But I went to Florida when I was 26. I wanted to start over, which is why I went to Florida. And then I also wanted to really pursue my modeling and also fitness, which would make me move to Florida. As far as moving to Cali, with me being born here, I naturally have roots here. And also my grandfather was sick. He just passed almost a year ago, last year. He was 92, so he died of dementia and natural causes. So I wanted to come out here to be with the family and to support him and to see him before, you know, he left and made his transition. So, and then also the coastal states, you can't go wrong with it when it comes to fitness. And I just really wanted to check it out because it had been about 18 years since I've been here, and there's no excuse. And I kind of felt bad because I hadn't seen my grandparents in that long. However, I do honestly like the South more now that I've been here in my adult life for 18 months. There's something about that South, you know. I mean, I like to call myself a Southern gentleman, got the Southern hospitality. It's something about that that, you know, cannot be mimicked or mocked by, you know, the Western. I mean, everybody has a swag and things, but I just miss the South, you know, and I really actually am trying to – I've never moved. I've never lived in Atlanta, but I always call Atlanta my second home. I love Atlanta. I've always had work in Atlanta, whether it's commercials, whether it's shoots, you know, and I can get work anywhere. It's just I like Atlanta. I like the South. I like the South. So.
Yeah, me too. You know, and once I visited Atlanta, I didn't want to come back to Minnesota. Don't get me wrong. Now, I got my listeners here from Minnesota. I love Minnesota as well. But I do miss the Southern hospitality and the weather there. I mean, everybody was just so pleasant and friendly. And I like, you know, when they first say, you know, hi, Mr. Monica, you know, the hospitality and just the politeness. It's just it makes you feel at home, you know. So that's what I do miss about it. You know, I see that you love I see here that you like football.
You're Minnesota. Yeah, that's why I was asking.
I'm originally
you're Minnesota
from. Well, now, I'm originally from Illinois.
Okay.
Springfield, Illinois, by way of Chicago, and then I've been in Minnesota since 1986, so now I'm a Minnesotan. I pretty much like the Vikings, but I still, unfortunately, they're going to be mad at me, but I'm still the diehard Bears fan, and unfortunately, the Bears haven't done too well, but yeah.
They have not at all. I heard a lot of Chicago fans are actually mad at their football team. And I actually watched the game this previous season, and they actually booed the Bears, like the home team. I actually booed Chicago, and I was like, I've never seen that in my life, where they actually booed them off the field.
That's sad. Now, I know you like basketball and you like football as well. So coming up, were you in the sports then before you started doing the training, or were you on a team coming up?
I played football all my life, you know, so from a kid, preteen on up until through college. Growing up in Louisville is, we don't have a professional team, but it's nothing but college, you know, college football, college basketball. So I started watching sports, though, at the age of 10, and I am a diehard. So across the board, all of my college teams are in Louisville, Kentucky, and then my professional teams are California. Since when I first started watching sports, really, I was in Cali, and I was born here. So I'm a Lakers fan, and I'm a Raiders fan, so diehard. So it's kind of hard right now, you know. I mean, it'll be better to be locked down and to be on house arrest with the watches. But, you know, with no sports, that really hit home. You know, they had to take my sports away. But it's all good, though. Give us more time to do our things that we need to do.
Yes, and we have our other co-host on the line, too, the general manager here of WAMRDB. We have the one and only Mario Coleman in the house. Mario, welcome to the show. I think you may have stepped away. So
Mario's probably still on mute.
Unmute? Okay. Mario? Okay, well, while we're waiting for Mario to come back on to ask a few more questions, since we have you on the phone as well, reading through your history, tell the listeners, I know that you went through a trial and tribulation. I see that you're a very spiritual man. Tell us what happened. I think you had a brain aneurysm. What took place?
You want me to give you the short version? Because it's not really.
Yeah, the short version. That you've overcame that obstacle.
Okay, so, basically, yeah, I've always been spiritual. I've always been a believer in God and Christ. No shame about that at all. I had found out I had aneurysm almost 3 years to date, a little over 3 years. I just turned 30, so I had just turned 27. I was living back home before I moved to Florida, and I had aneurysms, two aneurysms. One burst in my head, but then I had two. One burst, one didn't. I didn't have any symptoms any premises. Like, I had no idea, you know, that I've had it. And come to find out, most people get the aneurysms that smoke. I've never smoked anything in my life. So I came home from work. I was working at a working at Ford. I came home, had a big headache that I never felt before. I was with my girl, told her to call the police. They called the ambulance, went to the ambulance. I had vomited, and they said that was the stroke. They had a CT scan, and they found out that I had aneurysms that burst in my head. And again, as I said, as I aforementioned, I didn't even know, I wasn't aware that I had anything wrong. I mean, I've always been as healthy as an ox. So they transferred me. This was Norton. They transferred me to the Neurological Center, the Neuroscience Institute, where the doctor told me that, you know, that I need to call my family because this was serious, and, you know, that the last thing you want to hear the doctor that's about to perform surgery on you say is that he's never seen anything like this before. And he had been doing surgery 15 to 20 years, but he said he's never seen the type of aneurysm that I'd had. He's never seen that. So at that minute, I just started praying. And I was like, if it's my time to go, it's my time to go. You know, I didn't ask God why me. I actually asked why not me. You know, in other words, what have I done to not deserve it? You know, like, I mean, because God's been better, way better than me. If we can all be honest, he's been way better than us. And we've been to ourselves, of course, and more better than we could be to ourselves. So I definitely just started praying. And I was like, if this is it, this is it. I asked God for forgiveness and, you know, went through the surgery, had the lady praying for me, the nurse, my nurse, I had her praying for me as well. And my, all my family came. I had my aunt come from Jacksonville, Florida. My grandmother came here from California. And like I said, this was in Kentucky. So everybody flew, everybody was with me. And then the surgery. And then after that, best case scenario happened. You know, so even if I wasn't a believer, that would actually make me start being a believer, because there's nothing that happened by chance. But the best case scenario happened, like literally the best case. Like, it couldn't have been any better. Came through the surgery, had to stay at the hospital for 3 weeks. By protocol, I had to stay at the hospital for 3 weeks, but everything was perfect. I didn't lose my, I didn't lose any of my senses. I didn't lose, cause they were saying that even if I did make it through, he was basically saying, the doctor was basically saying that I had to have a surgery, obviously, the brain surgery. And he was saying, if I didn't have it, obviously, it was a wrap. If I did have it, the chances of me being a vegetable were great. Like, it was great chances that I would be a vegetable. So, actually, I had to sign my rights off to my girlfriend. So, she would have, she was going to make the decision if I wasn't able to be, you know, me. So, but, yeah, everything went fine, went great.
Yeah, you definitely have a testimony. Yeah,
I could have been paralyzed. I could have, you know, did it. All that stuff that could have happened, nothing happened. Everything was in my favor, and that was all God. So then afterwards, you know, just as far as living my life, nothing's happened differently. I mean, I'm just, I have to take a baby aspirin every day, just because they put two stents in my head, because they were repaired, and they repaired the aneurysm that burst, and then I came back 6 months, and then they repaired that one. And the great news also is that they had, I had brain surgery through my groin. So I didn't have to have open brain surgery. So I have a head full of hair. I have my locks, which are way more than hair to me. So I was very thankful for that, because I was actually joking.
Yeah.
I was like, if you had to cut my hair, just kill me, for real, because like my hair is everything to me. So yeah.
I was gonna ask that question about that, because I noticed you have a full, you know, beautiful head of hair, and
one
of my close friends, he's a singer. He had the aneurysm, and they told him by the grace of God that he would never be able to walk or perform or sing again. And he's singing on the stage with me, so he's got the testimony. So that truly is a blessing.
Definitely, definitely. And I'm glad that he, you know, that he was able to make that. But yeah, I got to keep my crown. So that's why my locks are so much even more important to me, which they, I had already, you know, took pride in them before, prior to, but now definitely since, you know, like I said, I got to keep them, you know, like they live my testimony. I got to go through this with that, you know, so yeah, it's definitely more than hair, and I'm not going to cut my hair for nothing, you know, even when I get gray, you know, I'm going to have the fine pepper locks and everything, so, yeah.
That's right. Okay. Now, I believe he's back on the line with us again, our co-host, and I just want to reiterate one more moment, too. Callers just listening in, if you could please put your phone on mute because it's picking up a lot of background noise until we're able to ask, have the callers ask questions. I appreciate it. We have our co-host online, and Mr. Mario Coleman on the line. Mario, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Okay. Hi, Mario. Welcome to the show.
Hello. How are you? Can you hear me?
Okay. Yes, I can hear you nice and clear. Okay. Do you have any questions you want to ask?
This is my question. I'm doing. I had this when I am kind of
I'm
having trouble hearing you.
Mario, we're having a bad connection. Is there? Yeah. If you can, because it's like real garbled. If you can go to a clear area or something.
Let me check. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. I'll call you back.
Okay, he's gonna call back. Okay, well, while we're waiting on the co-host, I'm going to ask a few more questions here. What influenced you to, who was your influence to become a model? What made you want to model?
Honestly, I don't know. What made me, I think, honestly, people were just, I think it was a fashion show that was going on. I wanted to do that, and people asked me to model, and that was really my first time doing any work. That was at the age of 19, 20, 21.
Okay.
And everybody just said, like, you should do it. So they said, I have the it factor. And then I just started getting behind the camera, and the camera loved me. So, and all the photographers would say that I have the it factor. So I just took off from there, which is why I moved from Louisville, Kentucky, because Kentucky is just, you know, more college, and they don't really have. You know, when you hear Kentucky, what do you think of? You think of bourbon or horses. You don't think of, you know, the music industry or the modeling industry, you know. So that's why I moved from Kentucky, you know, so I can be more in a better market for what I wanted to do and for my craft. You know what I mean?
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We have callers on the line. Caller, we have one that's on area code 701. Caller, do you have any questions? Do you want to unmute your phone and ask the question real quick?
Hi, D-Fly. This is Tina Vocalist. How are you?
Hey, welcome, Tina. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. My question is, I see his abs are, like, intact. Like, what would he consider, like, a good exercise for a woman who has birth children and you're just trying to get rid of that baby pouch, even though your stomach is not big, but can't get rid of that without, you know, not wanting to go under the knife or anything? What would be a great exercise that you can do daily that would take that down, and so you can have a six pack as well?
Okay, hey, how you doing? You say your name was Tina?
I'm good. Tina, yes.
Tina, okay, hey, Tina, how you doing? Well, I would suggest, number one, I don't know how your diet is, but that's the number one suggestion that I always advise is, because it's 80-20, okay, so it's 80% of what you eat. Especially for that midsection, the ladies and the men. So I would definitely say if your dieting is not right, I would say tackle that first and foremost before you start trying to do exercises for your midsection. So definitely, like, is your diet okay? Like, do you eat fried foods, fast food, junk food?
I don't eat seafood. I drink a lot of water. I don't drink pops. I don't do any of that. This is just mostly just from me being a mother and carrying babies. My stomach is flat, but you still have that just that little tiny pooch down at the bottom that you want to get rid of. And that is the hardest thing for me to try to get rid of without thinking about going to Dr. Jones in Miami.
I would say just do some core workouts as far as for your lower abs. So, like, leg raises, 6 inches, things basically when your back is full on the back, your back is flat on the ground, and, you know, you basically are raising and lowering your legs. That helps because the lower abs, period, regardless of if you have kids or not, is typically the most difficult to achieve, you know, the lower abs. Definitely, I would say do lower ab work and then just see what that does. I mean, and sometimes, you know, like, if you have a C-section or whatever, sometimes you still do have, like, that, you know, that extra skin right there. But like I said, it would tighten up. It would definitely tighten up from doing the lower ab workouts. But I would definitely say that. And then also just drink more water. Half your body weight of water, and definitely drink. And that purifies and clears your system also. And that all goes in hand.
Right.
With,
I also
you
drink
know,
a lot of
goals.
Water, and I also detoxing too as well. So I do a lot of that as well too. But I think it's
so
more
yeah, definitely
the core,
incorporate that
core
workout,
together.
Incorporate that lower core workout, and see what that does, Tina.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Oh, it's no problem.
Thank
no problem.
You,
thank you for calling in.
Thank you. We have
Fly.
Another caller from. Thank you, Tina. Great question. We have another caller on the line from area code 612. Caller, are you with me? Caller from 612, you have a question? Oh, they just want to listen. We have also another caller from area code 763. 763, are you with me? You know what, you got them so quiet, they don't know what to do there. Okay. Speaking about that, where did the name Black Steel come from? How did you come about that name?
You know, actually, I was thinking about the other day. I was actually having a conversation with someone, and I don't remember. I have a great memory. But it was, we were just talking about the industry and what I wanted to do. And... you know, I think when they first said Black Steel, we was coming up with that. I said, man, that sounds like a stripper name. But I was like, then not really. It doesn't because I am, I like to think of myself as a man of steel. I mean, I'm not as hard as I want to be yet as far as my body. But, you know, a man of steel and then black. I'm very pro-black. I'm black on the inside just as I am on the outside. So I was like black with two C's, give it a swag. So. Black Steel, that fit for me. And it's a multi-purpose thing, you know, because I can use that in any accord. You get what I'm saying? So it's a mm-hmm. fitness trainer, Black Steel, motivational speaker. I mean, anything, you know, steel, whatever. You know, when you think of steel, you think of hard body. And that's what I want to.
Hard body, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, and that's what I want to build my brand around as far as when it comes to fitness, because if I... fitness is my passion. Fitness is my wife, if you will. And modeling is like my mistress, if you will. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, my modeling is my second, mm-hmm. my side. That's just, you know, I love modeling, but fitness is life. Like, that's number one, first and foremost. I enjoy helping people, making a difference, motivating people, and, you know, so on and so on. So, yeah.
Okay. And with that said, another question I had. Now, motivational speaking. When you motivational speak, what do you speak upon? Fitness or what category?
Well, naturally, motivational speaking, you know, that could be anything. But when it comes to fitness, all fitness trainers, for the most part, are anyway outside of the knowledge that we provide, are motivational speakers. You know, we're speaking to you motivationally. A lot of times, our clients will call us outside of the time that we're working out with them, you know, and I'm struggling doing this, or, you know, we're actually like therapists to an extent, so we are like motivational speakers. So that right there is inevitable. However, since I've been through so much, and I'm not just talking about my aneurysms, I've been through so much, like I'm not shy and not afraid to say that I've been in and out of foster care. You know, I actually have talked about that on my Instagram page, on my IGTV. I've been in and out of foster care, in and out of my mother's house, from pretty much 4 up until 18. I graduated high school in a foster care in the system. And so, and I've been through so much, you know, and so I'm not ashamed to say it, you know. And I tell everybody that just because you grow up in a hard system or you grow up a certain kind of way doesn't mean... yeah, you don't have to be a product of your environment, in other words. You know, like, I grew up in a hood, in a project, and things like that, but I wouldn't consider myself a hood dude. You get what I'm saying? And, you know, with kids, you know, growing up in today's society, growing up in the system or whatever, you know, they don't feel like there's any hope, or they feel like, oh, well, I'm headed to the system. Well, again, you have a black man that's 30 that has no felonies, no misdemeanors, never been in prison. And I told you I've been in and out the system. So, you know, that's definitely what I would like to you know, speak to anyone who will listen, but specifically the target group would be young African-American men, young Black men, you know, growing up in today's society.
And, you know, I'm also grew up in the system, so I know that feeling. That's, you know, it was a rough life, but you know what? We made it through. And I just take it as a grain of salt, you know, salt, and try to keep it moving. It was a very hard thing for me. Sometimes I deal with certain situations, you know, not knowing or understanding, you know, why I act the way I act, or just, you know, I'm multicultural. I'm a lot of nationalities, so just trying to figure out my individuality on that. So I commend you for that. And our young Black men, we need that. You know, in today's society, unfortunately, you have a lot of fathers that's not involved in their sons and daughters' lives. And so we need someone like you to, you know, speak to the children and speak to the youth that they can overcome these obstacles and still become the man that they need to become, or the young ladies that they can become. So we need that.
Correct. I agree completely.
Mario, he's calling from Nashville, Tennessee, our co-host. Do you have any questions you want to ask?
Yeah, can you hear me now? That was the first question. Is this better?
Oh, I hear you perfectly.
Yeah,
we
hear you a lot better now.
Okay, all right. First thing I wanted to touch on, what is this, like, three things that he mentioned, but I was actually on the line when the lady called in about, I guess there was some exercise routines that she was involved in. One of the things I used to be a personal trainer, and then I'm a lot older, and I was able to actually change my physiology in my 30s. And what I found out, one of the most important things that we as Black people who don't understand, is supplementation, protein, amino acids, understanding how these things interact with the body, strengthen the body, and create an environment within the body that allows it to respond a certain way. Like with women, when you have a baby, it takes a lot for a woman to build a baby. You know what I mean? It takes a tremendous toll on her body. And what happens is you have a depletion of what's called your nutrient pool. I ain't gonna get too scientific, but what supplementation does, like, there's one amino acid I know for sure, it's called L-glutamine, that is really good for the female body, her skeletal structure, different things like that. And you also need to understand what vitamins are good for you, what your body, you might have vitamin deficiencies. So we definitely have to do research, and you need to supplement before you work out, and you need to supplement after you work out, because you always want to keep yourself in an anabolic state. I know the brother know what I'm talking about, because if not, you're in a catabolic state, and you're kind of working against yourself. So it's important to understand the importance of, like he said, first and foremost is your diet, because without the diet, you're not even in position for the supplements to come in and do what they need to do. So we have to have a certain degree of discipline as far as diet goes, hydrating yourself. And the other thing too, along with supplementation, is you have to have a mental picture of where you want to be, and you have to be committed to that vision no matter what. You understand? That is critical. When you look in the mirror, you shouldn't see who you see. I mean, you see who you see as a point of reference, but you need to see where you want to be. You know what I mean? And you have to really, really, really understand. And the other thing, too, about motivational speaking, there's a lot of self-talk that you have to have going into this thing in order to make a transformation, because what we don't realize is that self-talk is going on in our minds all the time. Now, is it negative or is it positive? Because we can talk ourselves out of stuff. We can talk ourselves down through self-talk. So we have to understand what we're saying to our subconscious, what we're saying to ourselves on a daily basis, because that's going to have a whole lot to do with how we move on our journey in order to be successful. So that was my point on that. That was great, too, brother. I'm glad you had an opportunity to talk about that. The other thing, too, which I think is very, very, very critical.
Can I interrupt you real quick?
Yeah.
I just kind of interrupt you real quick. I just want to say, just piggybacking on what you said with the supplements and things like that. It's also everybody's body type is different. You know, like people see me,
absolutely,
and they'll say, "Hey, I want to get my body like yours." It's like you can't really do that. Like I don't want to, you know, crush their hopes, but it's like you just can really only be. And I know this may be cliche, but you can only be the best you. Your body can only be the best you, because there's some people who I know who have 4 and 5 kids, and you look at their stomach and they have six pack with, you know, no pouch, no nothing. You know, so you also have to realize that everybody is different.
Your genetics.
So it's because somebody, exactly, genetics play a strong part, you know, because people
absolutely
look at me, and if I tell you that I haven't really worked on my abs, you think I'm lying, and I'm telling you that I don't. Wait, it's just that I've changed, especially this year, since I just turned 30 in January, and I told myself I want to be in the best shape of my life physically as I can.
Absolutely.
So I literally gave up alcohol permanently. I haven't eaten pork or red meat in 8 years. I gave up five foods and fast food permanently and junk food. So, you know, but all my abs have always really looked like this for real, unless I just, you know, just start eating. So it is genetic. But yeah, I just want to say that also, you know, like it is possible.
Yeah.
Some people say it's not, it's impossible to, you know, have that disappear. It is very possible, but it's just people's genetics, you know, they're different. So, yeah, but go ahead.
And you can understand that as you make the journey, what your strengths are, what your weaknesses are. Like you say, you have certain muscles that are pronounced in the body and they're going to form a certain way. Like some people might have upper chest muscles where their chest bulges out up top and the bottom. And then other people might, their chest might be flat and then it tears out at the bottom as well. So genetics are really important, but the research of understanding what your strengths are, what your weaknesses are, what your body type is, and all of those other things come with understanding your determination to make that journey. And like the brother was saying, to be the best you could possibly be. And the other thing that I think is really, really critical is the message that needs to get out to our young black brothers and sisters out there, but especially our black brothers, because we're targets. And I'm not saying that to say, oh, well, you know, give up. I'm saying that to say that you just have to be exceptional, and your skill sets have to be exceptional in order to survive the battle, because we're in a battle. But we have to understand that just like we decide that we're going to fail, we have to decide that we're going to win. And the motivation comes in when you listen to brothers that have a story to tell you of how they survived, and you can put that in your toolbox and reflect back on it when you're faced with those moments. Because I work in the prison system.
Okay.
And I had the opportunity to be out in L.A. from 1982 all the way up to 2015. So, I mean, through crack, Rodney King, gangster rap, all of that, you know. And the other thing, too, that I wanted to touch on, man, that's really important, is every person, a lot of the people that I've known and a lot of people that have been successful have gone through the system that you're talking about. And when I talk to some of the people that I know, it's just that it can take you down so far. It can take you so far down that you don't have no way to go but up. And once you're down like that, you can appreciate the little things, you know what I mean? And you realize it's that you cannot let that define you. Like me, I never knew my father. I grew up in the projects. And, you know, we as black men have these unanswered questions. But the answer, one of the answers has to be, what I'm feeling, because I don't have this, I can't project on to my son or my daughter or anybody that I know that's coming about, because I know what this pain is, and it has to stop with me. So we have to assume responsibility for our present. Well, our present, our future, but we have to understand that our past can allow us to move forward, or it can hold us back. And we can't, no matter what you do, you can't change your past. So you have to allow it to allow you to move you forward. You know what I mean? And it's the same, you know, this is the same principle, brother. It's like you can go to some of the baddest, badass schools in the neighborhood, but and all this chaos is going on. Why is it there's one kid in there that's getting A's and B's? You know what I mean? This is a bad, this is a terrible school, but you got certain kids in there that's still getting A's and B's because they're not allowing their environment to deter them. Yeah. They're not allowing their environment to dictate their success and what they want to be.
But see, a lot of people want to use it as an excuse, though. You know, a lot of people use it as an excuse. Mm-hmm. Well, I grew up this way or I grew up that way. You know, I was watching a movie the other day, and, you know, the thing is, movies, it may be for entertainment, it may be fictional, but a lot of it, it contains true stuff. Like a lot of the movies derived from true. It may not be based on a true story per se, but it's true. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it may be harder for a black man in America, more challenging, but we still have, I feel like, same opportunity. It's just some people don't want to go and get it. We may have to go and get it versus having it handed to us, but we still have that opportunity, though. You know, and a lot of people want to sit there and use an excuse, oh, I'm a black man in America. Again, that's why it's no excuse. Like, I'm not judging anybody who has felonies or who's in the prison system. I'm just saying that I've been through a lot. But the fact that I have that I'm not in the system, I'm not doing drugs, I'm not in the street, and, you know, most people who I went through what I went through are even less, are either in the hospital, whether it's a mental hospital or in jail or dead, you know, so I'm just saying there's no excuse. You just got to want it bad enough.
Yeah, and every day you woke up, man, you had a choice to either fail or to win. And there's a certain amount of actions you have to execute every day to either fail or win. And one of them is, like you're saying, you got to, if you wake up and you're holding on to that excuse, I'm a black man, I don't have an opportunity, then you're setting yourself up to go to execute these certain amount of actions that are going to allow you to be exactly where you were when you woke up that morning, as opposed to, hey, I'm up, I'm thankful that I can breathe right now, because some people can't even do that. I got to be one step ahead. I got to do something that's going to make me a better person tonight. What I was when
right,
I was morning, no matter how minute it is, it just got to be important to you, and success has to be your option. Because I can tell you right now, if I'm gonna be in the fight, I'm gonna be in the fight to win.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So we might as well be in the fight to win. And just like with weightlifting, different things like that, you're training yourself to be a better you. If you know you got weaknesses, you're training yourself to strengthen your arms, to strengthen this, to strengthen that. Your words, your actions are training your mind to strengthen it or to weaken it. So what the main thing we have to understand is we have a choice. Even if we get up in the morning and don't do nothing, we've made a choice. So understand what your options are. And like I said, if you're going to be in the fight to win.
I agree completely, right? And I say that too, man, all the time. I say, because a lot of people, and not just, I mean, I know you were talking about, you know, like just, even if it's literal, you know what I'm saying, speaking, not just figuratively speaking, literally speaking, man, I always say, what's the point of doing something if you don't strive to be the best at it? That's just me. And I say this with Kobe mentality, even before he passed, he's always been my favorite, you know, athlete. And I always say, that's why it sets me apart from other people, man. We could and be playing red light, green light. I want to win. We could be playing, I declare war. I want to win. I'm competitive, you know, and I look at life like, what's the point of doing it? If I'm mopping floors at McDonald's, I want to be the best floor mopper. I want to mop in figure eights. I want to be clean.
Absolutely.
You know, if I'm picking up trash, I want my area to be the cleanest. You know, that's just me.
Mm-hmm.
So like you said, if you don't put your all into it, that's with everything. There's no point in doing it. And that's just how I look at things. And I want to be the best because I look at it like this. You're doing a service, whatever you're doing. Even if I don't have to even be training you, I'm doing a service. Whatever I put my hands into, whatever I put my mind into is a service, just like me cutting your hair. So you walk around after I get done cutting you, that right there is the image of me. That right there, you go, who cut you up, man? Whether it's bad or it's good.
Right.
If it's bad, like, who cut you up? That's bad on me. Who cut you up? Oh, it's good. That's good on me. But, you know, like I said, that right there is my work. So You gotta be the best. You gotta put your all into it.
Share with that individual. Yeah, it's the gift that's been given to you that you've passed on, like the motivational speaking. That's the knowledge that you receive from your walk, from your journey, and you're utilizing that to maybe enable another young brother or another young sister to wake up one more day and say, you know what? Instead of giving up, I remember what that brother said. I'm going to try a little bit harder this time. And if we could just get one or two people, man, to just do that every day. You know what I mean? Because you're in the battle. The battle is moment by moment. You know, even if you wake up on Friday and fail, you still got Saturday, man. You still got Sunday. You know, don't let that one thing define the rest of your life. So you got to stay in there. You got to be focused. And you got to believe. First of all, you got to believe in you, because can't nobody undermine you or trick you or do you a disservice to the degree you can yourself. So you cannot be a prisoner to who you are, first and foremost. You got to set yourself free of the chains that are holding you back, that are putting you in a position where you don't want to do nothing but blame the system. You know what I mean? You can't allow the lie to be your truth.
Excuse me, one moment. I'm sorry, Mario.
I'm sorry, we have a caller.
We're about to wrap it up in just a moment, and we're on a deep conversation. I'm really enjoying this. We have a caller on the line from area code 763. Do you have a question? Caller at area code 763. You can unmute your phone if you have a question. Okay, well, they're going to win the prize that's on the line, area code 763. We have a prize coming from the one and only Black Steel in the house here at WAMRDB, Mr. Byron Ely on the line. So you want a prize, so just stay on so we can get your information in just a moment. Also, since we have you on the line, I have a couple questions that ladies been texting me. One of the questions from the ladies is, what zodiac sign are you?
I think Aquarius. I don't even really get into it, but it's Aquarius, I think.
What? When is your birthday?
It's Aquarius, January 25th.
Oh, your birthday's in January?
Yes, ma'am. Yeah. 5 days into it,
okay,
I think
so
it's talking the 20th.
Okay,
yeah.
You're Sagittarius, or are you a Cusp of the Capricorn?
Say it again.
Aquarius.
No, I think Aquarius starts on the 20th of January. I'm the 25th, so yeah, 5 days in.
Okay, so you are Aquarius. Okay, 763 says you are Aquarius, most definitely. Another question that one of the callers had asked earlier for me to ask you, with you being out, you said you don't really participate then with the zodiac sign, so really I can't even ask that question because they were asking compatibility with an Aquarius.
Oh, yeah,
compatible with your sign. Do you believe in that?
No, not really. I will say that I have looked up my sign, and it pretty much does describe me to a T, pretty much. So like 95% of what it says about an Aquarius is me, but I don't believe in the case of compatibility. But like I said, my sign is pretty much me. You think there's where hard lovers, all of that stuff, we cut you off quick, all that stuff, you know, it's me. But yeah, I don't care about the compatibility. So I'm not going to say, oh, you're a Leo or you're a Scorpio, I can't talk to you. You know, that's not what I'm going to judge,
right.
You know, anything on.
Okay, the next question is, I'm having people texting me questions because they're shy. They say, are you in a relationship?
I'm going to need to have them call in. No, you can't be no shy. We can't be grown here. You can't be shy. we can't be shy.
Listen. Are you in a relationship? Ask him that, please.
No, I'm not in a relationship. I'm talking to a lady, getting to know her, and it's going well, but I'm technically not in a relationship. So that answers the question.
Okay, you hear that, lady?
I'm completely
single.
Not
in a relationship.
I'm single.
Another
loud and clear.
Another inquiry was about one of the ladies that I work with. She's actually a film director and a playwright, and she wanted to know because she was really impressed with your pictures, of course, and she wanted to know, would you be interested in modeling, and have you ever considered acting?
Modeling, well, yeah, I mean, I'm always interested. I mean, if it, you know, has anything to do with modeling. I actually did take my first class this year, and I actually enjoyed it. They actually thought I was a professional. Like, they didn't believe that was my first time. So, I know that modeling goes, or acting goes well with modeling. They go hand in hand, and I've always been told that I needed to do that anyway. So, but yeah, no, I definitely would be interested.
Okay. And they asked, what about the lady that's on your back in that picture?
What about the lady that's on
the back? You know the picture that you have with the lady on your back? Or, he said, or the horse.
The one where you're crawling and she's on your back?
I have multiple pictures with different ladies.
Oh, okay.
If she have dreads, if she they talking about the one I just...
She was dark skinned, kind of with braids. I remember.
Oh, dark skinned? Any picture that I posted, like I said, it's either been a professional shoot or it may not have been professional, but they were just models. So, yeah, any of the ladies that I posted on my page thus far, I'm not in a relationship with them or probably actually just met them. But like I said, the main one that I actually just did a shoot with in Baltimore a few months ago. She was light skinned with dreads. I just met her and we killed it, and it was just, you know, all that stuff is professional business. So, yeah.
So, you hear that, ladies? You hear that loud and clear here on WAMRDV, the women's station. All right. And then I have, let's see, a couple more questions here. I think the ladies are asking. Oh, one of the ladies said, well, what about in the video? They're still trying to find out who is the mystery lady and if you're available. How would they go about reaching you? So if they needed to contact you, for instance, for any modeling, and we're about to wrap this up, WAMRDB. So let the listeners know how they can contact you for modeling, any questions they have, any consults with your fitness. Give them your information. Hello?
Are you talking to me? I've got my phone.
No, I'm speaking to Black.
Oh,
okay. Is Black
hello?
Still there? Okay.
Hello?
Yes, Black.
Yeah.
All right. So we're about to wrap
it
up here.
Kicked
you
off.
Just came back.
Yeah, I did
no,
too.
No problem. Okay. So they're asking, how could they reach you? How can they follow you? Let our listeners know. And that's Black Steel listeners on WAMRDB. And he's going to give you the information on how you can reach him. And for bookings and that information and any consult, how could they reach you, Black?
All right, ladies. So my phone number is 21. No, I'm playing.
7779. No, I'm playing.
Right. I can be reached at. I don't really use Facebook. I don't like Facebook, so I can be used at Instagram. It's Black Steel, so that's Black with two C's. BLACC. _STELE. So Black _Steel. My name, Black Steel. So that's on Instagram, and then on Gmail, which is the inquiries for bookings. It's blacksteel@gmail.com. blacksteele@gmail.com. So, and then that's the way you can reach me for serious inquiries. Gmail, my email, and then like I said, you can also inbox me if you would like, but yeah.
Well, we appreciate it, Black Steel. That's right, ladies. That's Mr. Byron Healy on the line here at WAMRDB, the woman's station. And also the ladies, would you please hold the line when we take the show out? We want to thank Black Steel, that's BLA, and is that double A or is that double C?
Double C, BLACC.
_Steel. That's ST as in Tom, ELE. Here on WAMRDB, the lady station, WAMRDB, the woman station, with co-host Mr. Mario Coleman. And this selection that we're playing is called Seduction by Next Level, Mr. Mario Coleman here at WAMRDB, the woman station. Thank you.
So gently, again and again. Every place you can imagine, tingling, tantalizing. causing inhibitions to disappear and eyes to close, leaving your senses completely exposed to the onslaught of my seduction. I whisper silent suggestions to your sensual subconscious that sends energy surges throughout your primal urges. Part your leg so I can kiss, lick, and suck on your feminine fruit until your juices flow. I want to indulge in your flavor as my tongue slips and slides over quivering fleshy folds, sending scintillating, reverberating shockwaves to your every extremity. Fingertips glide across your skin like gazelle riding across the wind. My actions I repeat until your body is moving to the beat of my every touch. I can tell that you're ready for the final finale to surrender to me and to my seduction.
You're listening to Mario Coleman, Next Level with Seduction on WAMRDB, the woman's station, the new look and feel of radio with Black Steel. Thank you so much for participating and coming on the show. We're honored to have you here on WAMRDB. You have a good evening. Thank you.
get wet for me. I'll do whatever needs to be done for our bodies to unite and become as one. I wanna make love to you nice and slowly, swift and deeply. But before I do that, I'll have to get you ready. I'll dispatch my fingers on a mission to tease. My tongue will write messages that only your reactions can read. It swirls from one side of your neck to the other, while my fingers rub, slide, and glide in perfect synchronization, igniting your lustful imagination, preparing you for penetration as soon as you get wet for me. Fingers continue to rise up your inner thighs. Are you getting there? Am I turning you on? Do you want me as badly as I want you? If so, all you need to do is get wet for me. Fingers arrive at their final destination and begin to slide in and out. My lips and tongue also begin to descend. Do you mind if they join in? I submerge your jewel into my mouth and marinate it with the spices of stimulation, causing your hips to move in a sensuous configuration. This is a sure sign that you're ready. A sure sign that you have gotten wet for me.
DJ Don,
it's your top five. You know what it is.
Can you hear that playing? That's my song.
Patron again, think it. with a two-step and nothing else
to tell you. Can you hear that playing? That's my song. There's a crowded jumping. Yes, this song.
Somebody out there for you, baby. 89.
WAMRDB Atlanta Mix Radio, the woman station, the new look and feel of radio. Let's go.
I'm just going with the flow, and wherever it may go, I go wherever you take me. I take a chance with you, baby. I'm just going with the flow, and wherever it may go, I go wherever you take me. Take a chance with your baby. I never planned you and I. It's like you landed right in front of my eyes. Baby, you got a mystery about you. And baby, I'm gonna find out what's inside. I'm just going with your flow. Wherever it may go, I go wherever you take me. I take a chance with you, baby. I'm just going with the flow. And wherever it may go, I go wherever you take me. I take a chance with you, baby. I put my cards down. I'm letting you drive. Break my heart, baby, and I will give you all of my love, all of me.
I'm just going with the flow, and wherever it may go, I go wherever you take me.
I take a chance with you, baby. I'm just going with the flow, and wherever it may go, I go wherever you take me. Take a chance with your baby.
I'm just going, 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 going with the flow.
Going.
I'm just going, 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 going with the flow.
With you, baby.
I'm just going, 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 going with the flow.
Just you and me.
I'm just going, 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 going.
You're listening to WA. Atlanta. Minneapolis, Nashville, and everywhere else. Radio.
WAMRDB.